Times bestselling author Robin Cook is the master of the medical thriller, and this year marks the 40th anniversary of his breakthrough novel, Coma, which changed the public's image of medicine. He has a brand new thriller out entitled Charlatans. He is back with another blend of cutting-edge science, technology, and suspense, and it's always great fun to welcome Robin Cook to the broadcast. Robin, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
First of all, let us begin with, can you believe it's been 40 years since Coma came out?
No, I can't. And nor can I believe that I've actually written 35 books. I mean, to me, that's the most astounding thing.
So when Coma came out and hit, I mean, you are a physician. You're working in the field. And this book comes out, and I assume it just changes your entire life.
Well, it didn't right away. It did in some respects, but I wrote Coma while I was still a surgical resident, and then it came out just the year after I finished, and I was actually back as a full-time student at the Kennedy School and had a private practice and was teaching at the medical school. So I was very busy, and it didn't change very much for about 10 years. I wrote about 10 bestsellers before I realized that I had some alternative lifestyle if I was wanting to take advantage of it.
So you, in talking about the early days of your career and the early days of your studies, brings us to the new novel, which is a tale that tries to ultimately tackles the question of how many secrets lie beneath the medical degrees that are hanging on the healthcare practitioner of your choice's wall. That in and of itself is a little scary because you put some doubt into that. So what brought you to this particular subject?
Well, I guess it's because our entire culture is changing in that direction. Because of social media, everybody's becoming a little bit narcissistic or a little more narcissistic. Everybody's becoming a little fake, a little bit more of a charlatan, because there's this tendency to kind of augment, if you will, one's profile on social media. And when that happens, if you read some of the articles now that are being written about it, is that people get to the point where they start to forget what they've made up and what actually had happened. And since the medical profession is part and parcel of our culture, and doctors are using social media just as much as anyone else, this problem is extending into the medical field. And when you think that doctors are sort of seemingly a little bit unaware of the fact that the internet is changing people's understanding of medicine and medical issues dramatically, in the sense that most people are getting their information from the internet now and from social media groups rather than from the medical profession itself, is sort of astounding. And so I wanted to write one of my novels about this issue, and it's interesting that you bring up Coma, because I wrote Coma to kind of scare people a little bit about going into a hospital, and I've written Charlatans to scare people a little bit about who is this person that is their doctor.
So in the novel, this all begins with a relatively simple hernia operation, and what happens then? Because there's the doctors are in there, they're in surgery, and then the guy dies. Okay,
yeah.
So who blames who, right?
Yeah, well, each is sort of blaming the other person, and some people might not know that there is what they call a morbidity and mortality conference, particularly in the surgical department. And this conference is held on a regular basis, and the chief resident has to be the one that presents it. And what it is an opportunity to put out the dirty laundry, the bad cases, the deaths, whatever, with the idea in mind that let's find out why this happened, let's change it, and use it for some sort of positive thing. But they're very, very emotionally laden meetings, especially if you take into consideration the prevalence of narcissistic tendencies or traits among surgeons. When something goes wrong, like you, what happened in this is someone did go in for a hernia operation, which should be very simple, and ends up dying. And unfortunately, that can happen. And then try to figure out why it happened and who was responsible. And this is what goes on in hospitals today. And as is what I mention in the book, concurrent surgery. There are some physicians who are so esteemed in their own eyes and in others that they can run concurrent cases, that, in other words, have a number of operations going on at the same time in which they flit back and forth from one to the other because of the fact that they have fellows and residents that can do what they consider portions of it that are beneath them. But this is something that patients don't generally know. Right. And and this is a real issue. And it's been, in fact, a spotlight in the Boston Globe that won the Pulitzer for its encountering the issue of sexual predators in the church also did a series of articles on this concurrent surgery. But it didn't really affect the issue, and that's why I wanted to use it in one of my books, because fiction can be a lot more powerful in terms of exposing and issues and enacting policy change than nonfiction. So
in the book we meet,
that's why I include it.
Yeah, in the book we meet Dr. Noah. Is it Rothhauser or Rothhauser?
Rothhauser.
And he is a chief resident in Boston Memorial Hospital, and it really falls on him. He is running these M&Ms, these morbidity and mortality conferences, and it falls on him to investigate and review what happens. So ultimately, he goes up against this doctor who is very egotistical, William Mason, and the ego in the medical field that you write about is quite haunting, I think. Not hard to believe, but quite haunting.
Well, that's the reality. Part of the way that we train surgeons today encourages that kind of behavior, unfortunately. Part of the message of this book, Charlatans, is that I think that medical education has to change, and it's going to be changing fairly rapidly, even though it hasn't changed at all for 100 years.
Yeah. And so how does that ultimately hurt the patient? Because, I mean, in this case, this guy who has the huge ego is ultimately looking for revenge against the person who's trying to get to the bottom of this case. So How does it hurt the patient? How does it hurt the entire medical establishment when you have this type of behavior going on?
Well, it certainly is as evidenced in the novel, Charlatans, is that it that kind of behavior or personality makes it really almost impossible to learn from these unfortunate episodes. This Dr. Mason certainly is not willing to accept the fact that he is to blame to a large degree of the outcome, and a portion of it is because he was running other cases, other surgical cases at the same time, that he was ducking out of from those in order to come in and quickly do this hernia operation, which he thought was pretty puny, and the patient ends up dying. So that's a very direct and unfortunate result from this mechanism of running number of cases all at the same time. And so patients can be hurt when people like this surgeon have this kind of attitude and feel that their interests are more important than the patient's interests.
When it comes to the patient's interests, then after you have done your job as a top-rate medical thriller writer and you scare the zippers off of us, then we go forward and say, okay, now how do we trust the doctor who is treating us, operating us, and consulting us?
Ask questions. Are you going to be doing any other surgery while you're doing mine?
That's are you
a very
busy?
Legitimate
yeah.
question.
But no, and will they be truthful?
And if he says yes or she says yes, then you say, well, you know, maybe I'm going to get a second opinion on this. And it's that these surgeons have been able to keep their patients, from knowing what they're doing. And I don't think that's appropriate.
Because there often is an arrogance and an egotism that they'll even if you ask that question, will you get a straight answer? One that isn't at least perhaps truthful in some way, but still obfuscating what actually they're doing.
I think you would if you asked that question directly, because they would be, especially in the current circumstance where this has actually been in the press, at least in the Boston Globe, and it's a question that's come up elsewhere, and seemingly the tertiary care hospitals have justified. They feel they're justified and feel that. That it's okay, but do patients feel it's okay? And there's a lot of doctors who do not feel it's okay. And so it's something that the hospital administration is forcing the issue in that it increases the surgeon's productivity, which increases their bottom line. And the recurrent theme in my books is that we've had this unfortunate marriage between medicine and business, which I've decried from the beginning. It's one of my feeling is that this has been a mistake. It's changed medicine from its altruistic origins to the biggest business in the country. And we're seeing the effect of that now. And you just listen to some of the politicians talking. I mean, the level of ignorance about what our system is really like for the general public is atrocious.
Robin Cook is the author of the new novel, Charlatans. It's intense and chilling and just a great read, as always. Dr. Cook, always a pleasure to have you on the program. I wish all the luck in the world with the new novel, and I thank you very much for returning to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the new novel is Charlatans by Robin Cook. It is published by Putnam. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.